It's the Agribusiness Report. South Plains, Texas producer Travis Meyer set to join us in a moment. For Shell Shagum, USDA livestock analyst on cattle numbers.
The number of cattle on feed on August 1st was just over 11 million head, which was about 2% below a year ago. During July, about 1.6 million head of cattle were placed on feed, which was 8% below a year ago. During July, approximately 1.7 million head of cattle were marketed, which was about 5% below a year ago.
Says the supply of forage is the key to any eventual herd expansion.
The cow-calf operators' returns have been relatively good, from recent past. There should be some, if they have grass, there might be some incentives to expand. But again, it's a question of whether or not they have the forage to carry their animals over the winter for breeding in the spring.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Travis Myers. Travis is a producer on the South Plains of Texas. Travis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Glad to be a part.
Okay. So when I say a producer on the South Plains, I'm talking about mainly, I guess, three counties there, Linn, Dawson, and Borden County. Your operation kind of spans across those three counties, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does. We're scattered out in about a 20-mile circle. They're mainly around. We've got a lot of country right there around O'Donnell Close, but we're kind of scattered out in all three of those counties.
Now, for some who don't know where O'Donnell is, it's going to be south of the Lubbock area, but really kind of got on the map earlier this year because of, well, it turned into almost Lake O'Donnell. What in the world happened there, and how much rain was there, and what did that do?
Well, that's what we thought. We'd never see another poor day. You know, we got about between 9 and 10 inches in that week, the last week of May there. And it, of course, closed 87 down for about 10 days. And we were, of course, trying to get our crops planted and just had lots of nightmares because they rerouted all that traffic off of 87 onto our little farm to market roads that we were trying to get up and down with our equipment, planting equipment. And so it was quite an adventure there for a while.
And now for those who didn't get to see, I actually got to see some of this. So I want to make sure I'm not stealing your thunder here, but when you get that much rain onto the soil types that you've got in that O'Donnell area, does it just soak right in? What happens?
No, unfortunately, you know, when you get part of that, we got 6 inches in 4 hours one morning. And, you know, when you get that much rainfall, well, even though we were dry, very dry, well, most of that water ran off into our Playa lakes, and some of it is still there. But, you know, it wasn't a good, slow soaking rain like we really needed.
Well, let's go back. We're going to come back and talk about where the crops are today, but let's step back for just a moment. And Travis, just for those who don't know you, a little background about you. Did you grow up maybe in that O'Donnell area? How'd you end up where you are today?
Yes, sir. I grew up there. In fact, we just received some really exciting news for our family this week. We got my farm is 100 years old. It's been in our family for 100 years. And so we get to go to Austin this in October and receive an award from the state of Texas for that. But anyway, my grandparents came there from East Texas. I believe the boll weevil ran them out of East Texas, and we've been there ever since. My dad got me started in farming, and now I've got one of my sons is farming with me, and then my other son runs our cattle operation for us. So we're happy to be there.
And that's a perfect segue, really, because we know that there's diversification across cropland, but you're really diversified across ag with the livestock in there as well, right?
Yes, sir. I've always kind of had a a love for cattle, and so we raise show cattle as a hobby. But we've actually, you know, through bad crops and stuff, we've converted some of our cropland into grassland and are trying to run a few more cattle than we used to, of course. But and sure are enjoying the high prices right now. So it's been good for our operation.
Let's talk about that cropland now for just a moment. I would imagine we would find cotton on some of those acres, or at least normally find cotton on some of those acres. What all are you doing across your operation?
Yes, sir. Like I say, normally we're 90% cotton. We do have some milo this year. Just had that late, kind of got a late start on some of that, and couldn't get all of our crops put in. So we put in some milo, and I've got a little bit of hay grazer and trying to grow a little cattle feed. And then we've also got some irrigated Bermuda grass.
What about the cotton crop? When you look at your operation and your neighbor's operation, and especially as you start getting out from that O'Donnell area, because there was so much water right around there, but what are you seeing as far as crop conditions at this point?
Well, like I say, we were a little bit late getting started, but we got off and just got a beautiful young crop started. But unfortunately, you know, I guess the last meaningful rain that we've had was about the last week of June, and we've had probably less than an inch on most of that cropland since then around that area, and it just has really, really burned up on us. You know, after we got into the fruiting stage, well, there just wasn't enough underground moisture there to do us any good. So I'm guessing that 50 to 75% of the crops in our area probably will not be harvested. There's some small pockets of dryland cotton that is going to be okay. Not great at all, but there is some irrigated this time. We didn't even have any irrigated last year, but there is some irrigated crops that look okay. And we've got some pretty irrigated cotton. It's going to cost us a fortune to keep these wells running, but we're committed to it, and it looks good today.
Now, we kind of set the stage early by talking about the massive amount of rainfall. You got really a year's worth of rainfall in just a few days. Have you had any rainfall since then, any measurable moisture that's been able to help the crop along?
Well, like I say, we've had a little bit. It's been in pockets, you know. I guess on Tuesday morning of last week, we got about an inch of rain right on the west side of O'Donnell out in the Wells community area. And you know, I think that'll fill a few bowls out in that area. And we've got some irrigated crops out there that it sure did kind of help a little bit, we think. So
now, Plains Cotton Growers, many have heard PCG or Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And you mentioned the boll weevil possibly running out grandparents years ago from East Texas. Plains Cotton Growers was kind of tied into managing that boll weevil for years, but you're involved with Plains Cotton Growers. How did that happen?
Well, I got started probably 30 years ago with Lamisa Cotton Growers down south. We've got a little smaller group down there, but got started in that, and then just felt the need to become involved and also to get more educated by being involved. But I'm currently serving as vice president of Plains Cotton Growers right now. I'll be president next year for 2 years, but have just really enjoyed the time that I've spent with them. That's a great organization, and they just advocate for our way of living every day, you know, and we're very proud of them.
Plains Cotton Growers, you said that you've educated yourself. When you kind of think about maybe some things you didn't know before you got involved with Plains Cotton Growers, or just something that's been reinforced over your years of being being within the group there, what are some of the things that really kind of rise to the top?
Well, it's a story I tell every once in a while. You know, we nearly starved to death in this part of the country back in the 70s and the 80s because we just thought that the only cotton we could grow was this short staple cotton. And, you know, we didn't even know that the loan rate went above 50 cents back in the day, you know. And then we finally learned and through research that Plains Cotton Growers is involved and the extension service is involved in, finally learned that we could grow this longer and more high quality cotton. And it's changed our operation tremendously, you know, and kept us in business for sure.
And for those who may not understand Plains Cotton Growers, and now I'm talking more on the producer side, most producers are well aware of what Plains Cotton Growers do, but if you had a group of producers sitting around, what would you want them to know about PCG?
Well, of course, we cover a 41 county area up here, you know, so we've got you know, and we see a lot of diversification in that, you know, all the way from the really good water and stuff up in the top of the panhandle to a lot of dry land down in our area. But just helping us with the insurance programs and keeping us informed of changes and avenues that we can stay in business using crop insurance, and then just as a constant advocate for us and our way of living in Washington, D.C. and Austin at the same time. So we're very proud of Cody and the work that he does. Of course, I've been on there long enough. Steve, we got to enjoy Steve Brett. He was a tireless warrior for us in that area.
Well, again, Plains Cotton Growers, if you'd like to find them online, it's just plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. Travis, thanks so much for your time, and we wish you the best for the rest of this year and hope that next year's not just a home run year. How about a grand slam year?
That'd be great with us. Well, this every chance you get, pray for us and for God to send us a rain and so we can continue this way of living. We certainly love it.
Travis Myers is a producer from Lynn, Dawson, Borden County on the South Plains of Texas, vice president for Plains Cotton Growers on today's Agribusiness Report.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, cotton producer from Lynn, Dawson, and Borden counties in Texas, Travis Myers.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs, all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Travis Myers is Vice President of Plains Cotton Growers. Online, plainscotton.org.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Slight changes down are reported for most milk production categories in both forecast years. According to USDA's latest outlook and World Agricultural Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekanowski,
we lowered our milk production forecast this month by 400 million pounds for 2023. That reflects lower cow numbers and lower milk per cow, in part due to heat stress reducing productivity. And then into 2024, we also reduced our milk production forecast there by 100 million pounds, reflecting lower cow numbers.
Meanwhile, prices are up in all categories of milk product and class, except for dry whey, which is down both years.
The all milk price for 2023 currently have it at $19.95 per hundredweight. That's up 40 cents per hundredweight this month from where we were in July. And for 2024, we're forecasting $19.35 per hundredweight. That's down 60 cents year over year.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.